state of, with the fulfillment of the thing that he already promised us so long ago, or the preparation of such a thing to come forth. And so when we have those moments, the outcome always is we're further moved into salvation, and salvation is further closer to us to be seen and experienced. So I love worship like we've just been having. I love the ability for God to kind of just make everything an experience, intentional encounter, versus just a meeting of information. Since Jesus doesn't do meetings, he only does encounters, we want to do everything we do when we gather together to have encounters. So love for you to join us, whether you can be with us for 3 hours or just a half hour for prayer. We will then take a break, go have a great Mexican meal, and then come back and we'll celebrate the Yom Kippur. But we'll celebrate the fulfillment of what Jesus has done and step fully into that acceptance. That's the message on Sunday or Wednesday night will be Jesus, our high priest. But we're going to use some slides and present some of the imagery so we can see what was first presented in the Moses as he brought that Aaronic priesthood, and then now what has been fulfilled, all of that in Jesus. And thank him a whole lot. Thank him a whole lot. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, so turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We had a terrific 9 o'clock service with Jordan, one of our Father Hearts graduates, and she shared a very honest journey of prayer that led to discovery of how God wanted to dismantle an image she was holding to the image he had wanted her to embrace, which one of rest and being loved and fully accepted and then enlivened in that place. So what she shared is where I'm going to start. In fact, it's just really everything that's happening to every one of us. If you'll just look at Jesus where you are, then you will receive from Jesus where you are. And when he's satisfied in that transaction of himself in you and you in him, he may move you from where you are. But if he doesn't, you don't even care, because where you are now has been eclipsed with where he is. So if you will let Jesus, or meet Jesus, allow Jesus to imprint himself, to come and discover him, to not try to get out of where you are, but let him in where you are, then the transaction of life exchange, identity exchange, promise, covenant happens. Because so many times, if the heart isn't go through the metamorphosis, if we do not behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus and transform into that glory, then the next place we go, we just repeat who we are. Have you noticed that you tend to repeat who you are? You can get out of one marriage and go to the next marriage, still repeat who you are. Get out of one church, go to another church, and you still repeat who you are. And that's not your fault, because you can't do anything different. Even Jesus himself said the Son can do nothing of himself. So without a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ, then we're doomed to repeat ourselves. And Jesus lived under the Father's voice and said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. So he from that place of union, could do incredible things and be disconnected from all the stuff that should have shut him down. If anybody should have been shut down, it should have been Jesus. He had to live in a union with a Father that no one would accept or give him permission to have a relationship with. They challenged it every time he spoke. They questioned it. If anybody should have succumbed to doubt, rejection, despising, sorrow, he should have. And yet he was filled with joy. He carried himself in a place of trust and delight and of victory and triumph. And yet he was all along knowing from the scripture that the outcome would be, final outcome of this journey on the planet would be that the one he loved would kill him, so that all the others could become free. He would become a willing sacrifice. He would be everything from Passover lamb to the lambs of bulls and goats. He would be everything, the blood of every sacrifice, and he'd willingly surrender himself. And when the Father was pleased, he would put him to grief, and he would put him, make his soul an offering for sin. And he would see his seed and thereby prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord would prosper in his hand. So promise was all everywhere. So he had a joy set before him, even to the point of enduring the cross. So this is our champion. This is our Lord. This is the one who saved us and is raising us up to be just like him. So don't think it's strange, the little things, big things, awful things, terrible things you're passing through. Because they're not testing you. They're testing your faith. And your faith isn't proven to be real faith or not real faith by the outcome, but by the income, by the ability to allow continued fellowship with a God that you cannot see. So even though you cannot see him, you love him. Even though your faith may be tested like gold is tested, going through fire, it's not that you prove something because you have nothing to prove. All's been proved. Jesus proved it all. But if you hold in agreement and hold that confession and begin to fellowship in that union, then that faith overtakes everything. And after a while, you are a life-giving spirit, not just a living soul. You're not bound in the soulish responses to life. You now carry life and spirit. And it's going to be cool. Yeah. And the good news right now is inside of you. As a believer in Jesus, all power to answer all prayer is resident. Christ is dwelling in your heart by faith. That the kind of power available is to the portion of his riches and glory communicated by Holy Spirit so that we can carry out or let live out this powerful life. But now go with me to Hebrews 10. I'm not expecting you myself to be able to even make this. How do I keep hearing it when I pray? We're in a culture and in religion as a whole in the world is not saying what I'm about to say. Therefore, the culture of religion does not support what I'm saying, but the scriptures clearly point to it. So we are kept outside of the place where God ordained for us to be because religion is telling us that it's all about these things. And then we get stuck on an external life that we try so hard to change, and we wear ourselves out trying to change our external life. Like the dog chasing its tail, we just run in circles and circles and circles and circles, and someone comes along and says, hey, there's a new way to do the circle, and we say, wow, tell me how to do the circle in a new way, and then we're just right there buying the book and trying the new circle. And then one day we go, you know, every time I go around, it's still just a circle. maybe there's another way than just circling. And that's when things start breaking, traditions start having to surrender to truth. And religion has to surrender to Christ. And you find that, in fact, since the resurrection, there is nothing but Christ. He is the Alpha. He is Omega. He is, he was, he is to come. He is alive. He was dead. Behold, he lives forevermore. He has the keys of Hades and death. He is the summation, consummation of everything for mankind, and thereby we have one real important thing to try to practice, and that is him. To practice Jesus. To learn how that he becomes the integral part of my life. He becomes the one I'm united to, I'm in union with, I defer to. And in Hebrews 5, it says that Jesus, though he was the Son, he learned obedience to the things he suffered. And the word obedience means to hear under. So he learned in his earthly tabernacle and human soul, as he walked with God the Father, that he had to stay under the voice of the Father, even in the conflict against his soul and his body. So that by the time he's in Gethsemane, he says to his disciples, "Can you stay here, please, and pray with me? My soul is now to the very point of death. I am overwhelmed, overwhelmed. And Hebrews 5 tells us that he prayed, he cried, he wept, he had vehement cries to the one who could save him. But you know the prayer, "Nevertheless, not my will, yours be done." And he was heard. He was heard. All prayer that is heard does not get answered necessarily in the way we want it, but it all gets answered in the way he wants it. And he learned that obedience. Okay, I want your will, not mine. Then it says he now has become the author of eternal salvation to all those, in perfection to all those who obey him. Now the word "obey" there is a different word. It means to hear under. One is to hearken. This relationship between Father and Jesus is exclusive. We cannot come to the match of that, but if we come into Christ, we are in that. But we're learning in our walk with Jesus to hear under, to kind of say, "Okay, Lord, I'm deferring to you. Come, find your way, access me, move me forward, help me to stay inside of you." And the real battle is to stay inside of Jesus. It's not a battle in that anybody can get you out of Christ. It's just we walk away from it all the time. We're not understanding the value of what we've been given. And so the testing is trying to get us away from our union. And the joy of discovery is realizing nothing can separate us from union. And the more that becomes true, then the more you go, "Okay, I got it. I've got the answer. I may not have the answer here, but I got the answer here. I have the one who is the answer. And I have the means for all answers, which is Holy Spirit." Holy Spirit's the answer to every prayer. When it's coming to manifestation, it's Holy Spirit making it show up. And he's inside of me. That's why the power, according to, works within me. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So there's not really anything I'm going to need other than Jesus and Holy Spirit. And since Jesus has already triumphed and everything I am led in is in triumph, then pretty much this thing is rigged. I'm telling you, the vote is rigged. The vote against your soul, your outcome, your destiny is rigged. It's nullified, neutralized. Nothing can keep you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So we are like fully going to go. So what I want to share with you in Hebrews 10, I want to talk to you about three things to do. Observe, practice, delight yourself in, that are universal, and no matter where you are, what you're doing, no matter how what's happening, but they are, when you begin to internalize and practice, it shifts the whole way you look at life, and it will give you, you're going to have a whole lot of fun. You're going to have a good time. Yeah. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having this boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." There are three let us in that, in these verses. The first one is let us draw near. The next one will be let us hold fast. And then the final one is let us consider. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And then let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Now, if observed and valued, there's so much freedom. Because first off, when we talk about this on Wednesday night and we look at what Jesus, high priest, has accomplished, we realize that that a lot of our religious practices are absolutely useless. At best, they're redundant. Because we're not accepting Christ at his word and starting from where he's placed us. We're spending hours of effort to try to get into something that's already been given. And that's because of tradition and religion teaching us. And religion is not, it's not a bad thing. It's man's attempt to get to God. Probably more honestly, it's man's attempt to control God. We like to, you know, control. That's why we have idols. You use them, get your thing, put it away till you need it again. And unfortunately, religion becomes its own effort to control us. And so it becomes a murky, murky, murky thing. So let me say this, that Jesus is blood. He said, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of, to the holiest of holies. That is, therefore, verse 19 again, therefore, brethren, having boldness by the blood of the Lamb, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the holy place. That's where the high priest could only go once a year. That's what we're going to celebrate on Wednesday, Yom Kippur, that point of access. Now we're being told, come anytime, come all the time. In fact, that's the goal of your day, to get there. But it isn't hard to get there because you're coming with boldness, which is just open, frank freedom of conversation, because you're there because of the blood. And the blood is that which is your propitiation. It's what gives you your justification. It's what's made you acceptable. You're welcomed. You come approaching the very holiest place, which is today a throne of grace, not a mercy seat, the GRU. Yeah. And there the Father sits on that throne of grace. And you're coming and you go, well, there was a big veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And now there is a veil still, but the veil is Jesus Christ. It's a veil that he consecrated for us, that is his flesh. It's his death, his burial, resurrection, ascension, and today, intercession. The complete work of Christ, finished in all of the requirements, handwritten ordinances, everything that dealt with sin, because of sin, sin itself, he has paid for. The propitiation. He's become the offering himself. And so being, he has also now become a high priest. So, again, these are huge thoughts, but if we let them become personal, then you can, I mean, in time, in about 1 second, be in the presence of God. First off, the blood, the veil, him as my high priest. What he did is his blood is the atonement. It's the purging of my conscience. His work is the new way in. He is the way, the truth, and life. And now once I enter in, there he is seated at the right hand of the Father as my high priest, ever living to make intercession. So there I am. How did you get here? By the blood. What way did you come? Jesus. How are you going to be well received? I don't know. I don't need to worry about it. I'm being coached by the high priest. I'm with the high priest. Why are you here? I'm with him. What are you doing here? I'm with him. He is the one who's appearing before Father in the face of God. And he's over me and I'm in him. Father looks at Jesus, he sees me. He looks at me, he sees Jesus. That's where prayer begins. But it's appropriating it. Because you have an accuser. And he follows you around. Nip, 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 nip. The evil narrator. You're a fool. You're a failure. You're never going to get that. It's never going to happen. And if we get engaged in the conversation, it's like arguing with a presidential debate. Nobody's going to listen to you. But you're going to get all worked up. But if we appropriate take the time to begin. No matter what day you've had, the best or the worst, you come by the blood. It is my confidence, it's my assurance. It is the reason I can come in, and I'm coming in. And I appropriate, I make use. And then I'm going through the veil of Jesus. There's no other way. I'm not climbing over another way. I'm not a thief. I'm walking through him, and he is there, my high priest. Okay, so what do? Draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart. I love that. In full assurance of faith. That means be honest. Converse. Praise him. I've always learned that God loves to be praised. Not because he needs it. I need it. Because I've got to get the image of the narrator out of my brain. And the image of the one before me. So the first thing, I praise you. I worship you. Truth be told, we'll see this, that what is the offering we bring that's the most significant value? It's the offering of thanksgiving, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks, praising him. So we move toward him. You are so complete. You have done what you've done. You praise God for who he is and what you need him to be. And engage until you have a connection. It's like the Bible was meant to experience, not to do. You cannot observe the Bible and do it. That is absolute pride and servant-minded fear. But if you do observe to behold, you will become. You are so victorious, Jesus. You have so conquered death. You are so the answer to all things. You are so triumphant. You're so generous. Father, you're so beautiful. You gave Jesus so willingly. You have made atonement through what he accomplished. You have taken all wrath off. And the more you say who he is, what he's done, who he is, what he's done, who he is, what he's done, next thing you know, who he is, what he's done is who you are becoming. And what he's done is being done. Inside out. First and foremost, inside out. Inside out. You cannot hasten Christ appearing outside in. You will frustrate the grace of God. You'll build the things that were destroyed. And you'll get very mad at somebody. You'll hate yourself. You'll hate somebody. You'll hate me. Because you'll hate authority, whatever, because you feel like it's just all jiggly, jiggly. But if you just say, well, whatever, here we are. Jesus, did you really do all that for me? Yes. If you did, what does that mean? I can be here. I can draw near to you. Okay. But now that I have a moment, can I really tell you how I feel? Please. I feel abandoned. Why do you feel abandoned? Well, that's a good question. Let me explain. You never answer any of my prayers. I asked you to do things, you don't do them. I believed you for this and nothing came about. Okay. But does that mean I'm not real? Or does that mean I'm not your go-to servant? What are you doing? What's up? Yeah, but I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. Nobody cares. I carry, but... Yeah, but does that mean I'm frustrating your efforts, or maybe you are frustrating yourself in your effort? I tell you what, you know, they call Holy Spirit the counselor for a very good reason. His rates are exceptional. and all he operates is in truth. But he's a comforter like none other. He has the unique ability per God's Parakletos name to adapt himself to me, identify in my feelings, emotions, fears, and dreads, and then pull me into Christ, his victory and triumph, and make it fun while he does it. Help me release, help me let go, help me be convicted. So you're drawing near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. I tell you, you don't know the liberty that when you realize you can tell God the truth of how you feel in his presence and not be afraid that he's going to throw you out of the holy place. Seriously, guys. Some people don't even have conversations with God. It's all a bunch of religious. just repeating repetitions that have no meaning because they've never met you. You've never been able to sit down and go, you've never had it. You see, everything to have authority comes through words. Everything of God that he wants to imprint and implant in me and manifest through me comes to me in words. And those words must be felt, experienced, imagined. That's why everything I don't even think out. It's like I've totally shut this brain thing down. And I can go into experience of everything I'm reading. It's like, oh, whoa, yeah, of course. But here's another thing. Everything inside of you that is death and destruction and lifeless traditions, dead works, has to leave by words. You have to have language. You have to be able to express what is in you to get it out of you. And you have to be able to express what is God to get it in you. And that's what prayer is all about. It's really all prayer is. Trying to discover who you cannot see with words till you see what you cannot see. And to try to identify what's going on inside of you that you don't understand where the origin is until it's found the root of it. It's just plucked out. And a free moment comes. And while you're doing it, two things are happening. The blood is spontaneously, continually cleansing. Current conscience. Oh, I'm not an evil person. I'm not an idiot. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm pretty well cool. God loves me. I tell you, with Jesus, after a while, you think God loves you. You start actually thinking he likes you. And after a while, you think it's almost just because of you. And then you realize, no, it's because of Jesus. You're just always so nice to me because of Jesus. And that both is a relief. Don't have to earn that and hold that position. Hardest thing we do to church believers is we tell them, okay, you got a free gift. Now make sure you don't mess it up this time. This is not the salvation of the second chance. This is a new creation, never before found in the history of the planet, whom Jesus is the elder brother. So you behold, you're being conscience purged, your body's being washed. Words are coming back to your remembrance, scriptures are coming alive. It's like, conscience is just going, woohoo! I am loved. I am accepted. I am welcomed. I am received. All my failures have been expunged. My record's cleansed, cleared. I am welcomed. I'm justified. I've never sinned because Christ had died up and buried and removed all that sin. And so now I'm learning to live as a sinless being without a conscience of sin and trying to learn to live in the consciousness of righteousness. And woohoo, that's a lot more fun. And yes, it is going to challenge thinking and emotions and choices. And you'll find that some of the things you've been doing and being so nice for so long, it's just because of the law. And you'll have to see, does he still love me if I sin? Whoa, he didn't destroy me. Oh, let's check it out again. He still loves me. And he goes, of course I love you. I never didn't love you when your sin was over you. Now I'm not going to love you when sin has been removed from you. Oh, well, hey, this is starting to sound like a pretty good deal. I could kind of like have my cake and eat it too now. And you'll try that. And you know what happens? Everybody gets their cake and eats it. You get fat. Tummy ache. And you go, I don't know. Though everything is lawful, not everything's expedient. Though everything I can do, not everything I want to do. And I don't want to come under the captivity of anything. And you go, oh, no, you tricked me. You tricked me. You took me out of the law and put me into personal responsibility. Way, not cool. Now it's up to me to talk to you and find out what you think about what I'm doing. No way. That's not fair. Just tell me what to do so I know what to do and I can blame you for not doing it. Now I have to go, Daddy, how do I walk right now in this moment and stay in righteousness, peace, and joy? How do I live in the delight? And so it's far harder to live by faith than it is by the law. It is far harder to stay in a place where you're having to kind of settle in. And that's just the first lettuce. The second lettuce is hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You want to, I asked the Lord last week, I said, Lord, what does resurrection look like? How do I explain it? And he said, well, first I tell you, resurrection life looks like Jesus glorified. Second, resurrection life sounds like your confession of hope. And I loved that and didn't like that at the moment I heard it. I loved it because that means it's personal responsibility again. And I didn't like it at all because that meant it was personal responsibility again. How's your confession of hope? If I sat down and I said, everybody, I want you to get in the presence, get in the glory, because without the presence, without the glory, you don't really have a good confession. You'll get mixed up. You'll either be legalistically making promises, have to be contracts that have to be observed, which is But if you get in his presence and you begin to hear the voice and you begin to get the washing, you begin to get the cleansing, you begin to get this moment of union and communion and oneness and delight, and you're beholding the face of your Father sitting on the throne of grace, and you're inside Jesus and in his resurrection, hearing his intercession is your confession. Your confession of promise, of hope, is his intercession. His intercession is not, Father, don't be mad at him, please. Don't be mad at him, please. Don't be mad at him, please. I'm sorry. Don't forsake America. I know. No. It's not even an issue. The issue is, Father, I am not, these guys are having a difficult time holding their place, so I'm going to just hold their place in you. And every time they return, the place is there. Jesus has saved your seat. He saved your seat. He prepared a place for you. And there he is where you are. That's where you're going to be. And so, think about this. I to appear before the Lord. The very thing that nobody could do but one man once a year, I can do every day. And that's why the Father went to all that he did so that we could now do what nobody could do. He brought us to be in him, to get into his presence, and then to, in honesty, approach him, have processing happening, language coming, words being expressed, both of who God is and who you are, exchange made, and then you start to have the decree of the king. Your tongue is a pen of a ready writer, and you begin to give forth your description and the declaration, promises, and you hold them fast because this is fulfillment. This is everything. If a believer can find fulfillment in the presence of God inside of promise and proclamation, you will not worry about the rest of the stuff contending over you. And little Jordan was pointing that out. You could still work at Starbucks when you're 55 and think, hey, I am so loved. Listen, if you don't like where you are, go to where he is. Why you are where you are. And if where you are is telling you who you are, then you're where you are too much. Where he is will tell you who you are in him and who he is, and there'll be fulfillment. But he's not like going around going, well, let's just all settle for a little less. You know, the economy's been kind of tight, and, you know, we're not in all, you know, it's not the same kind of way we used to live back when the old days were. We have more people on the planet, less resources. Let's just kind of, you know, downsize, minimalize, da-da-da-da-da-da. No, you know as well as I know, if you've ever met Holy Spirit in a moment of prayer, in a true, honest exchange, he is just going, I'm giving you the world. How much of it do you want? How much of it? Give me, what nation would you like? Oh, I so love Deborah up here praying the prayer of nations. Deborah's going up there going, Father, I want China to be a Christian nation. I'm going, That's the size of prayers we need to pray. But you can't pray that prayer and be in a funk of your identity. Do you understand it? Because the funker fire will come at you. And he's going to mess with your head. He's going to make you feel bad. He's going to do it to you. That's why the first, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith. Get settled. Then pull that confession of hope and begin to offer it again as a thanksgiving and praise and declaration. And when you're in the presence, all you hear is angels and Holy Spirit, and everyone say, yes, amen. The blood is paid for it. Go for it. Yes, amen. Now, those two components are the, and I'll do this next week because we'll run out of time, but they are the, you could couple them to Revelation 12:11, the blood and the word of their testimony. And that's how you overcome the devil. Except there's one other thing. You have to not be soul focused or selfish or preserving soul from death. You have to be full of Holy Spirit to be able to be that witness that might lead to your demise. We have to have such satisfaction in God that we can look around afterwards and go, who can I help? What can I do to be a blessing to somebody? You ever notice that when you get full of Holy Spirit, all you want to do is go give somebody something? I mean, seriously. You get in the glory, you leave your house in the glory, you come to church, you have an encounter with God, you go to your prayer closet, you have an encounter with God, you get into the glory, you come back home, and your house looks terrific. Because it's all perspective. And you want to give away. And you look for somebody. Let us consider one another. Let us consider, which means to observe fully. The backslider in heart is full of his own ways. The meaning that you want to know when you're backsliding is when you're thinking about yourself. Oh, woe is me. Oh, why is me? Oh, where is me? How come they forgot me? I'm sad. I'm mad. I wasn't heard. I'm angry. Yeah, you are. That's the whole goal. Get it out of you. But you can't go and say, I will not have needs. Don't have needs. Not going to let my flesh tell me what I need to do. I'm not going to let my emotions rule me. I am not an emotionally ruled man. Flesh does not have control of me. I have no needs. And you use that will of yours. That's still your soul. Yeah. It's still your soul. Seriously, dude. Give to some way, somebody that doesn't benefit you. Don't see every gift that is ever received in heaven is not a gift that we used to make a trade. To gain a new access to a new thing. Turn a heart. Make somebody remember me, like me. Work hard, make even God like me. It has to be just, wow, how does this experience that I'm enjoying, that I will enjoy for all eternity, how could I pass this on to somebody? Who could I meet discouraged and encouraged? Encouraged. Who could I meet that's doing something awesome and tell them how awesome they are? How can I find somebody that's in just mire and find the gold and pull it out of them? How do I call somebody forward? How do I recognize the clerk that's going so slow that they have a gift of hospitality? How do I tip somebody more instead of less? I mean, it's just when that's flowing, you're in the third let us, which you are in now, the total dominion of hell. I don't love my soul. Even to death. If you're not going to love your soul when you're facing death, you got to not love your soul every day. That's not deny. Like, it is deny. It's just like saying, soul, you're really important, and you've been so important all my life, you've ruled me. But you're just going to shut up and sit down for a moment while we go get in the presence of God and behold him. And when we behold him, we're going to be like him, and we're going to give him all the glory. No, you're not interpreting my life. So you look at my life and you say, I can't go on. I can't trust. I'm having issues. My parents weren't nice to me. I'm upset with the last three churches I've been at. My boss has never listened to me. Nobody thinks I have any good ideas. They're all conspiring. I've got to resolve these things. And you say nicely to your soul, soul, bless the Lord. Soul, bless the Lord. How can I bless him? There's nothing to bless him about because my life is a miserable thing. Everything is now going against me. No one's listening to me. Soul, don't forget his benefits. What benefits? There's no benefits in this thing. It is just like a religious system of control, and I'm just tired of it, and I'm just not going to forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? Yeah, but that was then. I don't sin anymore. Who heals all your diseases? I haven't been healed in a long time. I'm living on ibuprofen. So what? God forbid anybody here on ibuprofen. Jeez, you see the religious? I am so good. Oh, my back hurts so bad. Bless the Lord, soul. Get yourself in agreement, soul. Realign yourself, soul. Get yourself in agreement, soul. You are a magnifier of Jesus. That's how your soul gets saved. That's how your soul gets saved. Oh, yes, Papa will take you into some really deep and cool encounters. He'll unveil your eyes to see some really horrific stuff in a whole new light. He'll turn the interpretation of your life in a whole new direction. He'll walk with you on the road to Emmaus and say, hey, dude, how come you're so sorry? You guys are so sad. What are you doing? You go, well, why are you so stupid? Don't you understand what's happened? My whole entire future just went down the toilet. Well, tell me about it. Oh, you want to hear? And all the way from the beginning to the end, and here we are. And I'm bewildered because people are talking about resurrection life, and I don't even know what in the world they're talking about. And then Jesus comes along and says, hey, can I talk to you for you foolish ones, slow of heart to believe? Here's the deal. Ought not the Christ to have suffered, then enter his glory? And you open the scripture, and all along you're going along, and your heart's starting to burn. But you don't know who this guy is. Who is this guy? He's not fitting any religious thing I'm into. He's not on any kind of certain writ. He's not supporting any kind of doctrinal belief system. He's not advocating a political party or a special movement on the planet. He's just talking about himself. He's talking about himself. I have my own life, and he's talking about himself. There's something really strong on that right now. Get a hold of that. Jesus wants to talk to you about himself. He wants to talk to me about himself. There is no life apart from him. We are not self-contained beings. We are absolutely life-dependent upon union with Christ. Our union just is challenged because if it is the blood, the word of our testimony, then this contention over our soulish life, which is felt in all manner of separation, telling us we're never going to make it, we're never going to get there, it's never going to happen, you've been forgotten, you're never going to have. And we have to hear Jesus say, what? Are you so stupid, Steve? See, he can tell me stupid and it makes me feel good because I'm interacting and he's quickening me out of my stuff. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Don't disconnect from me. I remember I just spend all my time always in that. I'm telling you the honest truth of how I feel. I am so frustrated. Just want you to know, in case you didn't know, I am frustrated. And I'm trying to be honest. I didn't know that I could get back to the confession of hope because the only hope I really have is him, and I got to agree with what he said. And then I didn't know that once I got there that I could start living life as though I was totally a millionaire without a penny. But one day I'm mowing the lawn, and I'm just, oh, God, I can't believe this is what you gave me for following you. I mean, oh. And then it dawned on me. You're my only hope. You're my only hope, and I'm complaining at you for doing this. I don't think I'm going to get out this way. And so I kissed and made up. I'm so sorry. I'm sure what I see and feel is not what you're doing and how you're doing it. And I'm so sorry. You're not my enemy. You're my only hope. Do you see? Every time something is going to break forth, it's going to be because you meet Jesus. 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 High priest. Faithful promiser. One who comes alongside and says, hey, I want you to be a witness of my love in this place of hate. I want you to walk with life into a place of death. Yes, you will feel and experience death, but stay united to me and my life will overwhelm the death. And while we do that, your soul will get free and I'll save your soul in the process. Oh, but we have to do this at home. It is the goal of your day when you wake up. You're going to go to work, and work's going to be work. But the goal of the day is to get a hold of connected to the Lord, reconnected to truth of his high priestly professional ministry of liberty, there by the blood, inside of the veil through what he accomplished, there before the Father, having an honest conversation. Sometimes by the time you praise him, you have nothing to complain about. And sometimes you complain because it's just still too much heartache. But then something comes along and you say, God, but even though these are the truths, as I see them, I want to say what you've said to me is still true. And I have no idea how you'll ever do it, but it's true. You're the conqueror. You're the good king. You're the deliverer. You're the redeemer. You're my healer. You're my prosperity. You're my victory. And I praise you and I worship you and I thank you and I engage. And then, Lord, let life now, as I leave here, flow from me to whoever you send me to. Let me be a great encourager. Let me bless my boss. Let me bless my house. Let me bless my family, my neighbors. Let me just release life. And if we function in those three, then we start doing something, is that we start collecting the body back together. Because the body's scattering through discouragement. I did this so long and nothing's happening. I don't know how to function anymore. And then the evil narrator's telling us, and then we're going, ah! And all of a sudden, it just takes one person. Okay, you know what? You carry something of life. And I do? Yeah, you do. Really? Yeah, really. You're carrying life. And it sparks. We're that people. I'll close with this. You find a place in the New Testament. I know that's probably a lie, right? You find a place in the New Testament where it tells you to go to church to get your needs met. Tell me a place where it ever tells you to go somewhere to get something, except if you're sick, then call the elders. But even so, you're supposed to call them. This thing is like totally like Christ sufficient. And if the only thing you're practicing is, who do I get to give to? Who do I get to give away to? What do I get to release? What do I get to prophesy? What do I get to say? What do I get to encourage? How many people can I touch today? But not in a, oh God, did I get enough for your help? No, it's just an overflow. It's an overflow. Soul says, hey, we have to have a me day. Okay, let's have a me moment. Now let's be alive again. Nobody's taking my life from me. I'll lay it down again because I can, because I'm full, because I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm drunk. Happy. Don't you know how bad everything is? No. Frankly, I don't anymore. Don't you know what's going to happen to America? No. Don't you know there's a political presidential debate tonight? Yeah, I do know that. Don't you know it may make a big difference? Probably not. Sorry, I've just lost your faith. Sorry, I just felt your soul just like a... Let's stand together, please. Lift up your hands and let us just receive the goodness of Jesus. That he indeed is the only salvation on the planet. There'll be no more salvation from any other one. He will become the all-sufficient one again, seen among his people. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We acknowledge what you have done and done alone. Nobody carries you. Nobody has a corner on the market. Nobody owns you. No one controls you. You're the King. You're the Lord. You're the King and the King of the universe. You are the mighty one, the deliverer. And you accept us. Now just give to the Lord two confessions of hope that you carry. Just say out loud two things that you know he said one time ago about who he is, what he's going to do with you and through you. Bigger the better. Just doesn't matter. Just say something. I'm going to make a difference in the earth. I'm going to live a day. Tomorrow is going to be the happiest day I've ever lived. Jesus is my King. I'm going to carry the gospel to the nations. Just something. Watch and see if heaven doesn't just get up and applaud you. Come on. Yes, Lord. Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to come here this week and take us as the personal trainer he is and release again the bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And get the knowledge of what you've done again alive in us. And we'll not forget that you do heal our diseases. You do forgive our iniquities. You do pardon us. You do fulfill us and satisfy us and bring us into the future. Hallelujah. Now, Father, show us somebody to encourage today. Bring us into the pathway of somebody and release life to them. Lord, let us lay down our life and not love our soul, but release the sound of heaven from our soul to someone else right now. And before you turn too far, turn to somebody next to you and say, I think God loves you so much. And then start talking to him. He loves you so much. So much. He loves you so much. So much. You are so loved. Ha. So loved. Yeah, you're so loved. You're so loved. We're so loved. Yeah. Prayer teams are up front. If you like prayer, have the most greatest day. Look forward to seeing you on this Wednesday.